we don't have, at least I think in American culture, we don't have these very easy like rituals to go to for helping someone with their grief or with their pain.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast.
On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are talking about helping a partner cope with loss. Now, this loss could be the loss of a relationship, like a breakup. It could be the loss of a loved one, or it could be pretty much any other significant personal loss that your partner is struggling with. This week, as you'll notice, we're dealing with the loss of Jace. Sorry to make that sound dramatic.
I know.
Jace is alive.
I was just going to say that.
And healthy and well. He has not left this podcast. He's just taking a break this week.
Thank goodness.
So it's just the twos of us that you'll have to deal with.
Yeah, we gave him a week off, but the two of us are actually in the same time zone for once, on the other side of the planet from where we usually do this podcast. So us being on more like China, East Asia time, we decided that we'd give Jace a week off, which he's grateful for, I think.
Yeah, he's
and so you get
sleeping,
the two of us this week.
Blissfully sleeping right now.
You're right. It's like 3 in the morning there.
I hope he's blissfully sleeping anyway.
I certainly hope so, yeah. So we're going to talk about a few things in this episode. The first one is going to be how often does loss tend to happen in relationships? Because obviously, if you're human, you go through loss, you go through multiple types of loss, not just in your relationships, but in your personal life. So we'll talk about how often that tends to happen. Also, how do you help your partner or your partners deal with great personal loss?
Yeah, and in addition to that, we're going to be talking about specifically how do you help a partner deal with a breakup, specifically if they've lost another relationship that's outside of, you know, your particular relationship. And also we're going to be exploring, is dealing with loss potentially more difficult or less difficult when you're in a non-traditional relationship of some kind?
Yeah. So we have a couple statistics, or as we like to call them, stits. I can't even say it. Stits and stats. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a tongue twister right there, even though we say it all the time on this show. Stits and stats. So this was a difficult one to find, but I was looking up like how many people on average does a person lose throughout their life, like in terms of like family members or friends, even like how many deaths do you see in your lifetime? And the only statistic I found was that there were around like 40 deaths that a person sees in their lifetime, which seems like a huge amount. But I guess, you know, that also does go up.
Right.
Then, you know, the longer that you live, obviously.
Right.
They were talking about it in the way of funerals.
Like how many funerals
like,
you
might go
to.
Like, exactly, like anywhere between 40 and 50 funerals in your lifetime.
Gosh.
And I'm sure, like, once you reach a certain age, that number continues to skyrocket because you're getting older, like, people around you are getting older, et cetera, et cetera. But that, you know, obviously, if you're in a relationship, you're going to have to deal with that yourself and also deal with the loss of your loved ones' loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to explore that a little bit today.
Right. And I also tried to find statistics for, like, the number of breakups that you'll go through in a lifetime, and that's really difficult to find. It's difficult even if you're going under the assumption of like trying to find, you know, how many breakups does the average monogamous person go through. There's one study out there that suggests that women tend to have about an average of 5 relationships in a lifetime, and that men have 6, so we can extrapolate from that that
that's it? That's, like, the difference?
I get... Okay, here's the thing, though. Like, there's a lot of... I'm hesitant to even talk about this study because, of course, we have to assume that the sample size is likely heteronormative monogamous, We have no idea mm-hmm. what they actually count as a quote unquote relationship or not, if that's an amount of time or if it's a feeling or what it is. This study was also commissioned by, I think, a very biased source. And also out there, like, there's a lot of people searching for, like, how many relationships do you go through before finding the one? Or there's a lot of, like, how many relationships you have before you get married. And it's, like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of good, hard data about over the course of a lifetime, including marriages or multiple marriages, how many breakups or how many relationships you're likely to have. Suffice to say, it's just likely that you or someone you love is going to go through at least one breakup in their lifetime. If you're dating someone and if you're in a multi-partner relationship, it's those numbers, I think, increase. I forget who was saying this. It was Kim Tallbear, actually. I was listening to her being interviewed on a different podcast. She talked about, just kind of off the cuff, mentioned that often people who are non-monogamous or polyamorous go through, at least anecdotally, seem to go through more breakups, which is kind of both a good and bad thing. Bad on the one hand that it sucks to go through a breakup, but kind of good in that you kind of get more data, essentially, and like more information about who you are in relationships and like what kind of person does and doesn't work for
you. That's a good point.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Of course, we don't have any hard data yet or research yet that specifically tracks like how often someone who identifies as polyamorous is to you know, how many breakups they're likely to have. Hopefully that'll change soon. But basically, I guess the takeaway from the stits and stats is just that like you're going to be supporting someone through the death of a loved one. You're going to be supporting someone mm-hmm. through a really bad breakup. So that's why it's important to talk about
or
these things.
Or like through, yeah, absolutely. And even through like big life changes or big difficulties in a person's life in general, like a loss of a job.
Oh,
even.
Yeah, definitely.
Something else catastrophic happening in one's life. I do think about like the way in which my family and friends dealt with my breakups, like when I was in college, mm-hmm. and just like how long I would talk Aww. About it and how like difficult it would be. And eventually, like my mother being like, okay, you're done now. Yeah, which maybe wasn't always great, but it's sometimes good advice to be like, okay, we're maybe done with that. But yeah, just how... It not only like you're going to probably support partners through this, but you're going to support friends breakups and through various things as well.
Definitely. That's funny. That reminds me, not too long ago, I had to like search through some old emails for something. I don't remember what. It was completely unrelated, but I came across this old email exchange between myself and my mom talking about a breakup I was going through like 8 years ago. It feels like ancient history now. It was so funny just to kind of see this snapshot of my younger self, and just dealing with this upheaval and like the things that my mom said that stuck with me and the things that she said that I thought were like total BS or whatever. It was really interesting to see.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Today, we're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about not only some strategies or some things to think about when you have to care for a partner who's going through something difficult like this, but we're also going to be talking about how to care for yourself in the midst of this as well. But first, we're going to talk about caring for your partner. And I think we'll start out by stressing the importance of the fact that if something's like really devastating has happened to your partner, whether it's the loss of a loved one of some kind or the loss of a job or the loss of a relationship, it's likely that your partner's going to hop through the different stages of grief. And the thing is that like with the stages of grief, like they don't happen in just one order. Like it's not a linear progression. Like it happens all over the place that you'll hop from depression and sadness to rage, to denial, to acceptance, and then wake up the next morning and be back in sadness again. And so just expecting that and knowing that, you know, in the wake of something devastating, like it's likely all those emotions are going to come up. It's not necessarily going to be predictable. And you can go the extra mile by letting your partner know that it is allowed and it is okay for them to be all over the map, because that's kind of I think a recurring theme we'll come back to is that it's very easy when something really devastating is happening to you, I think it's really easy to feel nervous about asking for help or self-conscious of having whatever emotions, because just as a culture, at least in America, we're not great at talking about like grief and loss and stuff like that. And so it really goes a long way to proactively express to a partner that it is what they're going through is okay for them to feel, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. I'm currently working in Shanghai, China, and one of my coworkers is going through a divorce right now. And it is fascinating to see kind of that progression between the different stages of grief. Because, you know, he's being very respectful, but at some points he'll like joke and be like, whore, whore, whore. And then like at other points he'll be like, but she was my best friend. And like, this is the hardest part about, you know, the ending of this relationship. And, you know, talking about like, you know, I've seen him cry about it and like talking about his kids and how difficult it is on them and like all of that. It is really fascinating. And to allow that, like, I don't know. We become like as a culture, like rather voyeuristic in watching other people's pain sometimes. But I think it is like as a culture, us wanting to help and to like be there for someone, like it immediately like kicks this response on. I think in all of us, and like myself and my other coworkers, when he's talking about it, just being like, listen, you know, it's going to be okay. And really like, in talking about all the things that he's doing right and trying to be there for him and stuff, it is fascinating how we go there. The next one in terms of caring for your partner is allowing expressions of emotion, because again, the way in which you grieve, for example, may be very different than the way in which someone else grieves. So maybe someone else grieves in a very angry manner. Maybe someone else grieves in a very like mournful manner. And that might be uncomfortable for you in either scenario, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong. And really like allowing people their method of grief is incredibly important, because no two people are going to grieve in the same way. Some people might be very reserved and not want to talk about it at all.
Right.
Whereas like I'm a spewer, and so I'm like, oh my God, this happened. I need to talk about it right now. And like, you know, it's spilling out of me, for example, whereas other people that might not be the case.
That's like my card is totally the opposite of like, yeah, I mean, you know, over here as the chewer, but like, I'm totally like, I need to withdraw. Like I need to constrict. I need to, to like hide in the cave for a little while before I'm going to be ready to talk about it and to let it out. So yeah, that is important, just to recognize it's going to look very different depending on the person.
For sure.
Yeah. So moving on to the next one is, I kind of want to build on what we were saying earlier about the way that in Western culture that we deal with other people's grief. And I do think it's a little sad that we don't have a ton of ritual around grief.
No, we don't. Not like other cultures.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, we have, like, for instance, like, you know, the ritual of funeral, for instance, which for some people is very helpful, and for others it's not so helpful. But I think about things like in Jewish culture, like when someone dies and your loved one dies and you sit Shiva, and it's this kind of set process of like, okay, great, like, we know, like, here you go, here's 7 days, you know, we're going to cover up the mirrors, this is not a time for you to have to worry about your appearance, we're going to bring you food, like, here's your set time, and you're not going to work, like, this is not a time for you to have to work or deal with these things. And we know, we have this established process that, like, here's the container for you to have. And not that that's necessarily a perfect container or anything like that, but in contrast, in the West, it is just kind of a, like, well, now
get up and deal with
it. I still got to go to work. I guess I'll put in a request for like bereavement leave, or if it's not a death, if it's some other kind of loss, I'll just deal with it. You know, like maybe call in a sick day, I suppose. And we don't really know what to say to people. And so, I guess we don't have, at least I think in American culture, we don't have these very easy like rituals to go to for helping someone with their grief or with their pain. And it's okay to acknowledge that. Like, I think that, you know, for instance, you know, we always struggle when someone's loved one has died. We don't know what to say. It's kind of like, I guess you say, I'm sorry, but it's not like you're apologizing something or pitying them or whatever. But ultimately, it's better to be honest that you don't know what to say. Like, it's better to be honest and, like, say to a partner, gosh, wow, I don't know what to say, but I'm so sorry to hear that, and I want to be here for you however you need. Like, it's better to just be honest about that feeling than to do what I think a lot of us do, which is kind of resort to cliches about, you know, oh, this person's in a better...
They're in a better place.
Or it's for the best, or... stuff like that.
God's plan.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, of course, some holdovers from, like, Judeo-Christianity, you know, that makes a lot of assumptions about what we think is going to be comforting for someone to hear or not. But yeah, just that, like, it is okay to also be honest if, like, you're shocked, too, or you're surprised, too, or you also don't know what to say or how to comfort this person. Like, it's probably going to be more connective to be honest about that than to try to find, like, the perfect words that are going to make it all feel okay.
Yeah, I think that's kind of an impossible thing to give someone, like, the perfect words. It's, I don't know, just being there for them is, I think, can be really, really helpful. In a kind of the opposite of that is potentially, like, you may also be feeling challenging emotions, but don't necessarily project your grieving process on them. So, for example, like, if they seem happier a couple days later, you know, don't be like, well, I thought, you know, this terrible thing happened, why are you all of a sudden doing okay? Like, don't criticize their grieving process for being too short or too long, or for them crying too much or crying not enough. Like, don't project what you might feel is appropriate onto them. Because honestly, again, like we said earlier, their expression of emotion, their way in which they're going to grieve is going to be different than yours. So, and also, I mean, just, yeah, that's, it's just challenging to, like, know how you're going to feel. I've had friends die, and just, you know, 1 minute you're like, I couldn't think of anything else but this awful thing that happened. But life does go on, and we are so incredibly resilient as, you know, humans, and we, you know, the world keeps moving forward, it keeps spinning forward, and we really can just keep going. And so it's understandable that it, to some degree, like, you're going to need to, like, keep moving and keep getting back into your regular life. And so don't, you know, fault someone for trying to do that in a way.
I think I've definitely, like, come in on the opposite side. Like, I've, you know, I mean, I've definitely done this in the past of, like, projecting my own grieving process onto a partner or onto someone else. Because in, like, in my family of origin, the grieving process was just kind of culturally understood to be very short. That it's like, okay, like, you had a day or two, like, and now it's time, you know, you've had your day or two to cry, and now it's time to get back to work and get back to being productive.
Wow.
And, like, that works for some people. But I definitely have found that it comes up, like, when I'm helping a partner coping with something, that, like, that comes up in me, that if I start noticing thoughts about or frustration about, like, gosh, they're still upset about this. Like, gosh, when are they going to get over this? That I really have to check myself to be like, I think I'm just kind of applying what I was taught growing up onto this person. And I have honestly no idea how they were taught to grieve growing up. So, yeah, it's definitely a really important thing to check, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And that could change over time, too. Like, they could, if 1 year, you know, with one death, feel a certain way and their grieving process take much longer or be much shorter year to year. I mean, people change throughout their lives, so that's completely understandable. And also, I mean, we love to say this and talk about this, but really use the Triforce whenever you can. It's incredibly important and we love it. So Triforce 1, 2, and 3. Because sometimes just listening is what the person needs. They just need to like talk about what they're going through, or they just need support in that moment. They just need your love and your understanding, or maybe they need problem solving, but that can change. And so ask, be a good communicator and be understanding of their needs in that moment, and know that like maybe what you think they need is not what they actually need. So
right.
Be a good communicator.
Right, definitely. And if you have no idea what we were just talking about just then, go to episode 159 to learn all about the Triforce and get back up to speed.
Absolutely. Yeah. We use it all the time.
Every single darn day.
Constantly.
Every single darn day.
Yeah, and in our Patreon group as well, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But yeah.
Kind of the other side of that also is, really learning to listen when your partner is asking for what they need. Because that's, again, like, that is a very vulnerable process. Because, again, in Western culture, I think I don't know, the way we respond to grief, like, just, like, really varies and sometimes isn't very healthy. And so, again, just, like, learning to listen, like, if your partner, is asking for, I just need to be held right now, or I just need to not talk about it right now, or I need you to make me dinner right now because I can't get off the couch, or whatever it is, that it's a two-way street, it isn't just like being proactive and asking if someone needs listening or support or problem solving or whatever, but it is also learning to actually listen and accept that response as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to change the focus a tiny bit. We've been talking a lot about loss in particular, and of course, like, the very heavy loss of like of a loved one dying or something like that. We haven't spent a ton of time talking about breakup specifically, which can also be extremely devastating and painful. I apologize in advance. I'm purely just remembering this off the top of my mind, but I did read a study once, that I forget what their methodology was, but it essentially found that it's like the pain of a breakup can actually be commensurate with and equal to like the pain of spilling hot coffee on yourself as far as what your body goes through and how your nervous system reacts to it.
Eek.
Yeah, right? And so it's like, the sense...
I guess I can get
the sensation is different, but the way that like your nervous system and your emotions react can be actually quite a similar level. And I think it totally makes sense.
I just remember a breakup like where I basically stayed up all night calling people and being like, this happened to me. And then I was really just tired the next morning. So that's what I remember my body going through. But yes, I mean, obviously it's horrible and very challenging for your nervous system too.
I don't know. I've been sort of through some breakups where, and I read about this study several years ago, and so it's always stuck in my brain, but I've definitely been through some breakups where like in the worst moments of it, I've been like, I would rather spill hot coffee on myself right now than be feeling this way.
Yeah,
I'd rather deal with that like really intense short pain for a little while than this like really intense extended pain for a long while. But anyway, so just so y'all know, like, we did specifically cover supporting a partner through a breakup a few episodes ago. If you go to episode 128, you can get more specific tailored advice about that particular situation. We are going to reiterate a little bit of that here. But again, if you want to focus on that specifically.
It was like half a year.
Was it half a year ago? Good heavens.
Well, you said 128 and we're like in the 190s now.
True.
So yeah, at least.
Okay.
You're like a couple. You're like Jace now. You're like, it was a week ago. I don't know.
And you're like, it was 5 years ago, Jace.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, you can.
Oh, I don't know.
You can go to episode 128.
Yeah.
But if your partner is going through a breakup with another partner of theirs, this can be really, really difficult. But it's so important to, mind all the things that we've said above about letting your partner hop through the different stages of grief, expressing their emotions, not projecting your grieving process onto them using the Triforce, all those same things. But it's also really important to let your partner find their own path through that breakup. Because I think that what I've seen happen and what I've definitely done in the past is like a partner comes home and is like, oh, I think so-and-so and I are breaking up. And then I'm like, oh, great, this is my opportunity to finally talk about what I've really thought about this relationship, or what I've really thought about, like, the unhealthy things this person has done.
Wow.
Which, first of all, isn't...
Haven't we all been there? Well, good, because I hated that bitch.
I don't think I've ever said that, but I've definitely felt that.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Man, yeah.
So, I mean, first of all, not helpful. But then the second problem is, like, if you get too into the weeds with that, or if you get too into the mode of, like, trying to, like, guide or coach or advise your partner through the breakup, like, telling them what to do, or telling them, oh, you should not talk to them, or you should tell them this, or you should, you know, have this kind of talk with them, or you should never talk to them again, or whatever. It sets both of you up for the potential of, like, disappointment and frustration, you know, frustration potentially from your partner if they didn't want this advice in the first place, if they're hurting, if they're not sure what to do, and disappointment if you feel like you've given all this great advice to your partner on what to do and then they don't do it. That is just another opportunity for there to be more tension in an already tense time. I've seen this lead to a partner sometimes being cagey about when they've reconnected with an ex, because if they're like, if one of their partners has been like really vocal about, you know, any number of things, it could be like, oh, good, like, I never liked that person, or, oh, good, like, I really didn't think that relationship was good for you, you know, or, oh, good, like, I really didn't think you should have ever been that person. That then, like, as happens with breakups, like, sometimes there's kind of this back and forth process, or sometimes people just take breaks, and then that actually ends up being a good reset. That, like, I have seen it result in that particular partner, again, like, maybe omitting it or kind of being afraid to talk to their other partner about the fact that they've reconnected with their ex. And so basically just, you know, care for your partner, but make sure that you're also giving them space to kind of navigate their own way through the disillusion potentially of this relationship. And of course, everything I just said, you can completely ignore if your partner is in like a truly abusive relationship, because that is a whole other level and it's a whole other, you know, set of, you know, ways to talk to your partner about it or things like that. But abusive relationships aside, just make sure that you're giving space for your partner to still being, you know, be able to do their own discovery and process with this breakup.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store, and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping, code MULTI. We've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, some practical things that you can do to take care of a partner who's going through something like this. But it is also so important to take care of yourself as well, because I think that we all know anyone who's supported someone through this, whether it's a family member or a friend or a partner, it can get so draining so quickly. It can really take so much out of you being there for someone all the time. And there's definitely a couple specific things to bear in mind and to avoid when you're also trying to care for yourself in the midst of this. And these first two tips, they kind of go together. And so the first one is, it's really important to be mindful of not kind of taking your partner's emotions and then throwing them back at them. And what I mean by that is I've definitely experienced, and I've seen people experience, kind of this vicious cycle that can happen where one person is dealing with a loss or something catastrophic, and they need a lot from their partner, and they rely a lot on their partner, and they vent a lot to their partner, and then their partner starts to get burnt out and starts to get depleted, and then they kind of give it back to the original partner of like, oh my God, like I'm so depleted and I need support because supporting you is like draining me. And so now I need you to come back. But then like that doesn't make the first person feel comfortable or supported or whatever. And then it's just, it all kind of falls apart from there, that like there's been this like feedback loop that's happened. And so that's why it's really important in times like these to find a support network that is outside of the partner who is going through the rough time. That could be other partners of yours, if you happen to have other partners. It could be reaching out to your friends, to your family members. It could be a support group. There are actually a surprising number of support groups out there for people who are supporting other people, essentially, like people who are caregivers, especially, or people who are having to care for someone who's like sick or disabled or injured or aging or things like that. There's actually a fair number of support groups for the people who are connected to the person who's going through the tragedy or the loss. So those are definitely available to you and out there. But it's just really important to check that, to just know that, like, basically, during this time, while your partner's dealing with the loss or the breakup or whatever, unfortunately, they're not going to be able to be the partner they were to you in the same way.
Be very there for you.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that that's how it's going to be forever. Yeah. It doesn't mean that like you've lost your support or you've lost the things that this partner, this relationship does for you. But it just means that for the time being, like that may not be there. And that's okay. Like there's nothing wrong with that. But it does mean it is important to have some kind of support network, some kind of outlet outside of that particular partner so that you can also go and get care as well.
Yeah. And on that note, if you're going through dealing with your partner's breakup or your partner's loss of a loved one or something, then definitely don't forget self-care for yourself as well. Because again, as Dedeker said, caring for a loved one can be very draining and very challenging. So don't forget to go out to a yoga class or take a bubble bath, like play some video games, read a book, like go to a nice meal, like something along those lines, just to save yourself a little bit of, you know, energy and time and just like put some rejuvenation back into the challenging, draining things that might be happening at that moment. Yeah. Because it is, it's like you said, it's so, so difficult at times to just constantly be on and be there for your partner. And sometimes you just need a little bit of like reprieve yourself. And so, yeah, go out and do something nice for yourself in addition to being there for your partner, because you can't be on for them if you are 100% depleted and you need to, like, you know, re-up your own constitution as well during this time. Yeah, so that's super important.
That's the other thing, is self-care, like, it doesn't have to look, I think, the way that we're always traditionally taught to see self-care, which is the, you know, the spa day or the nice meal or whatever. It can be those things, and like definitely do those things if you can. But sometimes self-care can just be knowing when to say no to certain things, whether that's
true.
Knowing, like,
and that's hard.
It's hard.
Very hard.
And that can be knowing, like, okay, my partner's taking up a lot of my resources right now, and so I'm going to proactively, like, say no to some other things, like things my friends are asking or whatever, in order to care for my partner. Or it can also mean saying no to your partner sometimes. You know, it can be honest with your partner about, like, I just need to refuel, I need to recharge so that I can actually be there for you more completely. So I think that's an important part of self-care as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And along those lines, just recognize that your partner is probably going to be obviously depleted themselves. So while you may be wanting support for all the difficult times that you may be going through too, like in those moments, your partner may not be able to give it to you. And so just understand, like, hey, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt in this moment, because honestly, like, they're giving all that they can give and they're trying to like lift themselves up in some way, and they may not be able to, in addition, lift me up.
Right.
And that's okay. It's not going to stay that way forever. And, you know, just understand that and give them the benefit of the doubt. I think that that's really difficult. In a moment, like, we want our partner to be the bigger person in a situation. But if you can understand that, like, they may just not have the capacity to do that.
Right.
In a variety of situations, like, even in easier things, like, they're maybe just having a really difficult time at work. And you need their help in something, but they just simply cannot give it. I just recognize and understand, like, hey, my partner is going through a hard time, and so what I need may not be fulfilled in this moment, but that's okay. Mm. Obviously, if it's like a continuing pattern, that's something else to look at. But if it's something that happens once in a while, or especially during a challenging time, then be understanding, because shit happens, you know?
Right.
It really does. So right. Yeah, that's something to be aware of for sure.
Right, definitely. So we're going to move on to our last segment here, which is addressing and recognizing particular challenges for non-traditional relationships, such as non-monogamous or polyamorous relationships, when dealing with something like a death or a breakup when you have multiple partners. Because it definitely provides like some really interesting, unique situations that we don't really have social scripts for. I mean, as always, in a lot of non-traditional relationships, yeah, you're kind of figuring that out as you go along. But we wanted to talk about a couple of those scenarios. The first one being that, depending on your level of outness, you know, you may be totally closeted about the kind of relationships you keep. You may have one relationship that is kind of the more quote-unquote public relationship, or the relationship that people know about, and then you may have a more closeted relationship, you know, if you're not able to be out at work or with friends or family. And that can definitely lead to complication when there is a death or a breakup. You know, because especially, like, if you're already, like, not able to publicly declare this relationship in some way, or even if you did publicly declare it and it's not necessarily recognized, which happens to a lot of people, it can be really hard in not having your grief be taken seriously, I think. It can be hard in, you know, if your normal support network, your friends or your family, don't know that you have multiple partners and then you go through a breakup, that it can be really difficult to not have that support network, or to not feel like you can honestly speak with that support network about what's going on with you. So
yeah, to get any understanding.
Right, right. And I mean, I think that's why, you know, why I think online communities and offline communities have been so important for people who are in any kind of, like, you know, alt sexuality group, essentially, that, like, providing a space where people can talk about these things, for sure. To take it even, you know, up a notch, on top of that, you know, like, as we know, the majority of non-traditional relationships have the usual lack of protections or legal rights, you know, lack of access to bereavement leave, for instance. Actually, there isn't really any right to bereavement leave for someone who is a boyfriend or a girlfriend, actually. Like, there's specific policies for, in most workplaces, for, like, if it's a child or a spouse or a family member or things like that. But there isn't really a lot of language around non-married relationships as it is, which is an issue in and of itself. But then, of course, on top of it, there's the situation where if you're not out at work and you have a partner who dies, or you're going through a breakup or whatever, that it can be really hard to ask for some kind of leave when you don't necessarily want to out yourself in that way. So that's definitely something, like, a lot of people go through. Like, if you're going through that, like, you're definitely not alone. But it's definitely not an easy situation, for sure.
Yeah. And along those lines, I mean, if you're in something like a don't ask, don't tell situation, or just, again, if your family or your friends or your parents don't know that you are in a multi-partner relationship and then you go through a breakup, or again, yeah, if you have a death or something, then, I mean, it's awful. It can be really, really challenging. I can't even imagine, like, just how difficult that would be. And I know that people go through it all the time. They've talked about it in our Patreon group, and we've gotten emails and stuff about it, and just how difficult it can be for people to have to truly mourn, like, to a degree on their own without, like, these continual support systems in their lives, like, being there for them.
If I could just share my personal experience with this, like, as you mentioned, like, we've seen a lot of people post in our Patreon community about that. Like, when it's like, this relationship just exploded and I can't talk about it to anyone. And so, like, this is the only place that I can go to talk about it. But yeah, like, once upon a time, back in the day, I was in a functionally don't ask, don't tell relationship. Mm-hmm. And like, that was definitely a huge mistake.
Oh, jeez.
I had that experience of, like, I broke up with someone and then, like, the next day went over to, like, my other partner's house, you know, the partner that I had this, well, it was a don't ask, don't tell on both sides. It was a double whammy. It was, like, all kinds of mistakes were made. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that. But, you know, went over to my partner's house and I was just, like, distraught and so sad and, like, so in shock, but had to just, like, I don't even remember what I did. I think I just kind of, like, you know, just kind of told him that I was in a bad mood and I just wanted to, like, you know, sit and watch movies and not talk, because that was my only way of dealing with it. Like, I couldn't cry. I couldn't talk to him about it, you know. And, like, a lot of people go through it. It's, you know, definitely one of the reasons we encourage people to not do the don't ask, don't tell thing, just to be able to have more emotional honesty, because it was excruciating being in that situation.
Yeah, even for, like, these really extenuating circumstances, like, to just understand that having a person on your side, if it's another partner, like, how freaking important that is. It really, really is lovely to have just some understanding. So, that's really tough. I mean, it happens all the time. Mm. And I'm sorry that you had to go through it at some point as well.
All those mistakes I made as far as setting up a bunch of don't ask, don't tell relationships, I'm definitely not doing that one again. So,
yeah, no, I get that. And it's interesting because on one end, like, if you are the partner that is watching your other partner's sadness over the loss of a relationship, like, it can bring up this sort of reverse jealousy, like, well, ugh, like, they're having such a hard time over this person, and, like, that's difficult for me to deal with. Like, I'm having jealousy over their hard time. Mm. And that's something to be aware of, because it can absolutely happen. Like, yeah, I mean, gosh, I've had jealousy over stuff like that, like seeing a partner be really broken up about the loss of a relationship and just being like, well, geez, like, what am I, chopped liver kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Even though they're just having a normal reaction to something like a bereavement process, and it still can be challenging, like, on the other partner's end to deal with. So that is something to be aware of, just like, that may happen in these situations.
Yeah.
So be understanding of that possibility and of yourself in those moments, and like, hey, this is what's happening. Maybe I'm being a little ridiculous, but, you know, I understand for myself, like, this is what's occurring.
Yeah, I remember helping a partner through a breakup, and he was doing what Cunning Minx and Lusty Guy gave a talk at RelateCon in Boise this last year about the art of the breakup. And it was a great talk.
Yeah.
I remember.
It was great. Yeah.
And they refer to like the drunk talk period. And they don't mean like actually like getting drunk, but as in the period when someone's gone through a breakup and like they need to talk about everything. And it is all those different stages of like, whether it's them babbling about like, oh, she was like so wonderful and so beautiful and she was my best friend, or whether it is the, oh, she was so terrible. Like, I can't believe she did this. Can you believe this is what she did? Like this, let me tell you all the terrible things she did. Or, oh, I'm never going to find love again. Like they call it drunk talk. Cause it's like, you know, it comes from,
you're drunk with
emotion. You're drunk with emotion. Like it may not be stuff to take, like, there's definitely going to be some truth to it, but it's maybe not something to take super, super seriously. But anyway, yeah, I had this experience where I was, like, a partner of mine went through this really devastating breakup, and he was definitely in the drunk talk phase of, like, oh, she was so wonderful, and, you know, he was just, like, collecting, like, sappy internet memes about the one that got away, and it definitely, like, brought up for me that, like, I guess reverse jealousy is the best way of talking about it, where it's like, technically you're not in a relationship with this person anymore, but like, but geez, you know, like you're really,
you have a lot of feelings.
Yeah,
you
got a lot of feelings, really idealizing this person. And I think we're also not used to a partner waxing poetic about like how incredibly wonderful another partner is. I mean, some people are like, are cool with that, or some people are really not cool with that. It kind of depends on your relationship. But I kind of wish back then that I had more of awareness of like the drunk talk thing and like holding space for my partner to do that, of knowing like, this doesn't have anything to do with me. This doesn't mean anything about me. Like, you know, I can hold space and hold compassion for my partner, just like letting all this kind of well up and babble out and get out of his mouth essentially. And just, it's drunk talk and that's it.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing to be aware of and understand.
Yeah. So I think that ultimately I want to encourage people that, you know, it is so important, like if you're having a hard time supporting a partner who's going through a breakup, or if you yourself are going through a breakup and you don't feel like comfortable or out enough to talk to people about it, I still really encourage people, like there are outlets for you to reach out to. And they all kind of depend on your level of comfort, your level of safety, again, the level that of at which you are out. You know, it could be something like we've mentioned earlier, like posting in our private patron community, because it's a private group and no one can see. And so, you know, if you don't feel like you can make like a really sad Facebook post publicly, you can make one in the patron group and get people who will sympathize with you and empathize with you and be willing to listen and send you funny memes and cute animal pictures to help you feel better. It can be other online communities that are, you know, just more friendly to any kind of non-mainstream sexuality or non-normative sexuality. Talking about it at, you know, at a person, at a meetup, talking about it at a person, talk about it to a person. At a meetup.
Talk it at a person.
attaboy. You know, there's a lot of like discussion groups and processing groups for things like these. And even if all else fails, I would even encourage you even to reach out to a quote unquote normal support network or resource or online community for handling loss of some kind, you know. Because even if you have to stay closeted, and even if you have to come up with this idea of like, oh, it was, you know, a friend of mine that I lost, even if it was actually a partner, or oh, like is a friendship that had to end for some reason, even if it was a relationship, there are still people that you can reach out to and share your feelings to. I think you'll be surprised that like people will probably ask fewer questions to grill you on the details than you think. You know, so because especially if the most important part is like centering your feelings and getting to talk it out, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people in a supportive environment that are going to be like, why are you so hung up on this friend? What was this friendship really like? I mean, I guess anything's possible, but that's, I just think it's, you know, rather than just feeling like you just kind of need to suffer through it alone, it's better to have to like make up a little bit of a cover story if it allows you that outlet to at least talk about some of your feelings, even if you can't talk about the entire situation.
It's a really good point. Yeah,
even that's still gonna be helpful to you than just not. So that's just something to bear in mind that hope you take with you.
Absolutely. And again, like we said before in this episode, if you want a little bit more information on past episodes, 128, which was supporting your partner through a breakup, is a really good episode to go through. And then also 159, which is our Triforce episode, Triforce expansion pack. Both of those are great ones to revisit if you want to get more on communication and how to do it better, how to support people through breakups and challenging moments in their lives. So thank you for listening to this episode on bereavement and loss and how to help your partners through their own personal loss. So we would love to hear from you about how you have helped your partners in the past, or how a partner has helped you with loss in the past. For Dedeker and me, I know we've personally been through some loss recently, and so that's why we really wanted to do this episode. It's been important to us, and we wanted to talk about ways in which you can help your partners and people through that. So the best place to share your thoughts with other listeners is on this episode's discussion thread in our private Facebook or Discourse forums. You can get access to these groups and join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can email us at info@multiamory.com. Leave us a voicemail at 678-MULTI-05, or you can leave us a voice message on Facebook. Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Dedeker Winston, and me, Emily Matlack. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio Balvanera. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. And our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. The full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.